Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Nartrees Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, The Great Demographic Reversal: Aging Societies, Waning Inequality. And An Inflation Revival is a macroeconomic nonfiction book by Charles Goodhart and Manoj Pradhan that examines how long-run demographic change and globalization shape the low inflation environment of recent decades and why those forces may now be reversing. Its core argument is that the expansion of the global labor pool, especially through favorable demographics and the integration of China and other emerging economies into world trade, help suppress wages, inflation, and nominal interest rates. As populations age, dependency ratios worsen, and labor supply growth slows, the authors expect stronger wage pressures, higher inflation, and rising interest rates. The book also connects these shifts to inequality, fiscal strain, care costs, pensions, and the changing balance between labor and capital. It is written for readers interested in structural economic change rather than short-term market forecasting. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, how demographic change and globalization created the disinflationary era. The book begins from a historical macroeconomic claim: the low inflation and low interest rate environment of the late 20th and early 21st centuries was not only the result of central bank policy, but also of deep structural forces. Goodhart and Pradhan argue that the world experienced an unusually large increase in effective labor supply, driven by rising workforce participation, baby boom cohorts, and the integration of China and Eastern Europe into the global trading system. At the same time, global savings rose relative to investment demand, reinforcing downward pressure on interest rates. This framework is important because it treats inflation as an outcome shaped by labor market size, bargaining power, and global production networks, not just money creation. The authors use this historical reading to explain why wages were subdued, why inflation remained contained, and why secular stagnation became such an influential narrative. Their analysis challenges the assumption that recent decades represent a normal baseline for the future. Secondly, why aging societies are expected to raise inflation and labor costs. A central contribution of the book is its argument that demographic aging changes the inflation outlook in a predictable way. As birth rates fall and people live longer, the ratio of workers to dependents deteriorates, meaning fewer active workers must support a growing retired population. That shift matters because older societies require more spending on pensions, healthcare, and long-term care, while the supply of labor becomes tighter. In the author's view, a scarce labor force strengthens bargaining power for workers and pushes up wages, which then feeds into broader price pressures. The book also emphasizes that care work is labor-intensive and difficult to automate or offshore, so aging creates persistent cost pressures rather than temporary ones. The result is a reversal of the earlier disinflationary environment, with higher nominal growth and less room for persistently low rates. Thirdly, the reversal of inequality as labor regains bargaining power. Beyond inflation, the book argues that demographic reversal will reshape income distribution. During the disinflationary decades, abundant labor and global competition weakened workers' bargaining power, allowing capital incomes to hold up better than wages in many advanced economies. Goodhart and Pradhan contend that this balance will shift as labor becomes relatively scarcer and globalization becomes less expansionary. In that setting, workers should gain more leverage in wage negotiations, and the gap between capital and labor returns may narrow. This part of the argument is especially notable because it pushes back against the idea that inequality is an inevitable long-term tendency driven by capital accumulation alone. The book therefore links demography to distributional politics, showing how age structure and labor market conditions influence social outcomes beyond inflation. It suggests that future policy debates will increasingly revolve around how gains from slower labor supply growth are shared between employees, employers, and asset holders. Fourthly, why the authors expect higher real interest rates and a less forgiving monetary environment. The book also focuses on the consequences of demographic change for real interest rates, savings, and investment. In the author's framework, aging societies are not simply a drag on growth. They also alter the balance between desired saving and investment demand. As populations age and public spending on pensions, healthcare, and care services rises, governments may face larger fiscal burdens, while households and firms respond differently to uncertainty about the future. The authors argue that the net effect should be a higher natural rate of interest than the one associated with the disinflationary era. That means monetary policy may no longer operate in a world of chronically weak demand and near zero rates. This matters because many mainstream forecasts have assumed that low inflation and low rates could persist for decades. The book instead presents a world in which financial markets, central banks, and fiscal authorities must adjust to more inflation-prone conditions, greater funding pressure, and less policy room to maneuver. Lastly, a challenge to secular stagnation and other mainstream macroeconomic narratives. One reason the book stands out is that it is not only descriptive but argumentative. It directly challenges dominant interpretations of the post-crisis economy. Many economists have explained weak inflation, low rates, and subdued growth through secular stagnation, excess saving, or insufficient demand. They argue that demography and globalization created a rare historical setup that is now reversing, so the future may differ sharply from recent experience. The book therefore functions as a critique of extrapolation in macroeconomics. It warns against assuming that the economic patterns of the last 30 years will continue indefinitely simply because they have been stable for a generation. This makes the book valuable not only for its thesis, but also for its method. It shows how long-run structural analysis can unsettle conventional forecasts and reframe debates about inflation, wages, and growth. In conclusion, this book is best suited for readers who want to understand the structural forces behind inflation, interest rates, inequality, and fiscal stress rather than a short-term market outlook. Economists, policymakers, investors, students of macroeconomics, and business leaders will all find value in its attempt to connect demography, globalization, labor markets, and distributional change in one coherent framework. Its practical benefit is that it encourages readers to think beyond central bank cycles and recognize how aging populations and labor scarcity may alter the economic environment for years or decades. Intellectually, it stands out because it takes a clear position against the idea that low inflation and low rates are the new normal.